bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Pocket Show. The show on the British Tech Network that doesn't mind checking your pocket for lint and other such devices and things, but that's for an entirely different show. We are here with a fantastic panel of British Tech Network luminaries to discuss pocket stuff, your Windows phone, your iOS phone, and your Android phone. And soon, possibly even, we're going to have to add an extra panelist to discuss Amazon phone, but we will worry about that later on in the year. I will start off, a late addition to the panel, and much appreciated, is James Hart. How are you this evening, James?
Do you know, Paul, I thought you were going to say, we're going to have to get someone in to do BlackBerry, but no, it's never going to happen, is it?
No, it's not. I think we're fairly safe on that one.
Yeah, I'm doing okay. Thank you very much. Had a lovely weekend down at the seaside. And it's that wonderful British thing where the weather says it's going to rain all weekend and then it doesn't. So, yeah, for the win, because nobody went down there because they all thought it was going to rain. Perfect.
Oh, hurrah.
Just okay. How I like it.
Yeah, we didn't have too great weather here, actually. So you obviously had the good weather. We had it the previous weekend for the Easter weekend. Uh-huh. So, you know, we share it. It was Luton's weekend to have the weather this weekend. So.
Well, it was Bexhill's. I don't know about Luton, but Luton.
Sorry, I thought you lived in Luton. Have you moved?
I do live in Luton, but I went down to the Sussex coast to visit me old mum, you see.
Oh, I see. Very nice, very nice. Yeah. And next the panel is, you know her. You've heard her dulcet tones, irrelevant of whether you listen to the podcast or not, because they travel well. It's Kellingamont. How are you this evening, Medina?
You can never get a better intro than that, I think.
I can't. I'm like, who are you having on the show? Oh, wait, that's me.
How are you? You all good?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good, good. You had a good start to the week?
Yeah, and sunshine, which is always very exciting when you live in Portland, much like over there for you guys. Yeah, the sun came out, and it's confusing most of the city, so.
Very good. I thought Portland was actually quite good weather. I'm completely wrong. Is it similar?
Lots of rain. It's very green, you know, the rest of the year. But yeah, for a good half the year. So yeah, today the sun came out. It's going to be like 70 degrees or something. And so half of Portland is going, what is that big ball in the sky? I don't understand. And it's supposed to be like 80 degrees this week. And I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
I think the only thing I know about Portland, actually, now thinking about it, and that's always got bad weather, is I watched this horrendous reality TV show called Axemen, and it's basically about guys who are loggers, and it's around the Portland area, isn't it?
Yeah, it's west of us, between us and the Pacific Ocean is where those guys are,
But that's always horrendous weather. It's an awfully, awfully awful but awesome show. Because it's so awful.
It does make it all the way back around. It doesn't stop at bad. It kind of comes around and you're like, oh, this could be fun.
Yeah. The real tragedy is that there are an awful lot of those around. From fishing, storage, war, all these. Oh, my colleagues at work seem addicted. I think it's on National Geographic and Discovery. They have wall-to-wall crazy shows about people doing strange things in strange places. Of course, they're not strange things in strange places to the people who are doing them, but they are to me.
Yeah.
Well, see, a lot of the shows, though, don't come all the way around. A lot of them get to bad and stop.
But Axemen, I could honestly say it comes all the way around. I mean, it's worth watching it alone for the logging company that doesn't actually cut trees down.
Yeah.
They have a boat and they basically dredge the bottom of the river for logs that have kind of floated and sunk to the bottom and stuff. Enough about this week in Axemen.
Okay. Dumpster diving logging. Okay.
It's pretty impressive.
And this week in Oregon.
And finally, making his what appears to be sort of an every other episode arrival on this show is Alan Houshall. How are you this evening, sir?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, good. Are you all 8.1'd up?
Yes, have been since just after the Windows Phone Store got off its knees on 8.1 open day. So yes, I've been with it for about 2 weeks now.
Cool. So we're going to discuss that later on in the show. We will hear how you're getting on and the ups and downs of that. So we're going to open up, though, with a few headlines and stuff around the mobile world. So first of all, ex-Nokia CEO and now Microsoft head of devices group, Stephen Elop, has confirmed in a post on Nokia's blog on Friday that the software giant will continue their support for, among other things, the Nokia X family of devices, which they announced during their keynote at Mobile World Conference in February, that this will be a Nokia-branded Android device. Now, he announced this on Friday, obviously, following the whole Microsoft-Nokia deal going through. This is a little bit interesting because I think many pundits thought at the time when they announced this that this would actually be reversed when the whole deal went through between Microsoft. But this seems an odd strategy here, do you not think?
No,
do you not think?
I don't think it's strange at all. I think this is one of the smartest things Nokia's done in a long time. I think they're hedging their bets.
But and it's not Nokia, it's Microsoft.
Well, but it's like Nokia's the piece of it. And so it's interesting to me. This to me sort of plays like Office for iPad. Mm. You know, this is finally Microsoft realizing they're not the only game in town. And, you know, it's better to have Office on a non-Microsoft screen than on no screen at all.
Yes.
Which I think is where they're headed with that. And, you know, which was the smart thing to do, obviously, with Android and Nokia. I am curious how that's going to go because I know a lot of people who swear by Nokia hardware and, you know, are and want to, you know, would like to get another phone, but maybe aren't super sold on Windows Mobile. So I kind of like the idea that you could buy a Nokia phone that has Android on it. Not because I want one, but because I think there are a lot of people out there who probably do. And clearly I'm not the only person who thinks this or this wouldn't be a deal that we had heard about. It wouldn't exist.
I think there's also, it's clear to remember, this is Android, not Google. So, you know, all the Google bits, the Google Play, all of those sort of bits have been stripped out and replaced by Microsoft equivalents.
Much like what Amazon's done, really.
Yeah. So this is an Amazon-flavored, this is like the Amazon-flavored Android, there's going to be a Microsoft-flavored Android.
Yeah, so it's not that, you know, so when people say Android, they keep going, all right, hang on, Microsoft's selling Google phones. No, they've gone and taken the open source Android, stripped off all the Google stuff, and put on a Microsoft layer.
In fact, yeah, they've even skinned it a little bit like Microsoft, haven't they?
They have, those phones. Yeah.
Well, that's so just the tiled interface and stuff.
Right. Yeah, look and feel.
Interesting. Yeah. Oh, well, we'll see how that pans out. Is there any of the Nokia X devices out in the wild at the moment? I don't believe there are, is there?
They announced them, I think they're all, if they're being sold, they're only being sold in emerging markets. That was one of the things.
Okay.
Well, this is the big thing, yeah. I think that's one of the big things that Microsoft want to do, is they want to maintain the low-end sort of offering, and I think that's probably the most effective way to do it, really, I suppose.
I mean, there has been an interesting debate over whether or not the Nokia X was needed. I think a lot of pundits have said, if Nokia hadn't been bought by Microsoft, it was sensible to basically give them the hedge their bets, Android and Windows Phone, and, you know, play people off against each other in terms of getting more support and favours. Now it's out there. Yeah, Microsoft seemed to be treating it, yeah, like Kelly said, as the Office on iPad. You know, Microsoft have actually always been a bit of a, you know, cross-platform company. Mm-hmm. But and now with their new, you know, cloud first, mobile first strategy, they seem to be, and the engineers back in sort of control, they seem to be going, okay, right, well, you know, we want to make sure the experience is best on Windows, but actually we're not going to just, you know, for corporate reasons, you know, not support other platforms, because if we get them hooked into our ecosystem, mm-hmm. i.e. signing on with a Microsoft Live ID and stuff like that, well, then we can pull them across to us later. And Microsoft is pretty good at playing the long game, to be fair.
Right, okay.
I mean, think about, you know, Xbox. The first Xbox was obviously, you know, nothing. Xbox 360 then, you know, barnstormed and managed to overtake PlayStation for that generation. So. Yeah.
Well, and even the 360 they were selling as a loss leader. I mean, they lost money on every one of those boxes for so many years because it was the Razer handle. You know, like, we're going to give you the box so that you'll pay for $50 games every year.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know if we... I know what you're talking about, the Razer handle, but for British audience, that I don't think that was a deal that was over in the UK.
It was a marketing tactic that was used here to sell razors, shaving razors to men, which was basically, we will give you the handle, you know, we will lose money on the handle that we make back by giving you that handle so you will buy our razor blades.
Yeah. The other one people know, obviously, is the printers and print cartridges. You can get a printer for 20
for
quid,
cheaper than
and then
the
it
ink.
Will cost you 30 quid for the next set of cartridges. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Microsoft is one of the few companies that can afford to play a game that long.
Indeed, yeah. And Google, and you know, perhaps Apple as well, yeah.
And I would say it's also a sensible option to the other idea, which was a dual boot Android and Windows phone. That's never going to happen now, I don't think, because they've got their they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, if it exists, it's an internal thing that that people are using for testing. You know, the same way you hear about all different sizes of Apple hardware, and you hear about like an iPhone in a weird size or a MacBook Air that has 4G connectivity. Like, surely it exists, but it's something that was, you know, proving a concept, and maybe they proved it was horrible, and you know, and
or pointless.
It's, or you know, like if you've got a good enough experience in Microsoft flavored Android, then you know you probably don't need full on Windows, like the full on Windows Mobile, or you don't need the straight up Android version. So maybe this is a good idea. Either way, I'm curious to see how it goes, because both of these are relatively known quantities now. People have a certain expectation of Android, whatever flavor they get. Yep. People have a certain expectation of Windows Mobile, and you know, and of Nokia. And so I'm going to be interested to see how this plays out, because when it shows up at Best Buy, I'm going to pick one up and play with it and see what it can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And on Android, AndroidPolice.com have reported that they've seen, quote, plenty of rumors relating to Google's future plans for rolling out OK Google commands throughout the OS. This voice interface, according to the rumor, would allow you to share photos from a gallery or apply to Gmail messages. The functionality would be represented by a red lowercase g, Android Police claim, that might only appear on Nexus and Google Play Edition devices. So this is only a rumor, and as far as I've never really heard much from Android Police, so I'm not sure how credible they are in previous rumors about Android. But what I was curious about here was this idea that the entire OS, or the way that it's worded here by Android Police, the entire OS could be controlled by this Google Voice thing. Do you think that's maybe somewhere that if it understands the British accent for starters and the eccentricities?
I'll tell you what, it's going to really piss people off who really annoy people who like to play tricks on people. I mean, for example, like this, right? Okay, Google, make me a sandwich. I said, okay, Google, make me a sandwich.
You're a sandwich.
There you go. Okay, Google, sudo make me a sandwich.
Okay.
There you go. You have to join the sudo command.
That's quite cool.
That's awesome.
But it didn't make you a sandwich.
Well, no, I think actually she's...
The important thing here is you still don't have a sandwich.
And the great thing about it is that I can do it hands-free from the Google page. So if you the Google Now page, so I've got to press the Google Now button and prepare it, but from that point on, I can just talk to the phone. It's that stage where if you have it on the home screen, or sort of it's not abstracted in any way, I think it'll probably really annoy people, because I just go up to someone's phone, and unless it's sort of voice recognition... Okay, Google, switch off or something like that. Or trick.
Yeah, well, there was an article we talked about in the Gamer Show last week where it was a guy who had actually made his gamer tag Xbox off. Yeah, and he was just running about in Titanfall just being an arse to everybody. So everybody was shouting, Xbox off! And everybody's Xbox is off.
There's a YouTube video made up of clips of somebody doing that, and it's a, no! yeah, afterwards.
I suppose what I'm curious about here is this something that we perhaps want in Siri and Cortana going forward? I mean, I'd like Siri to do more. I think, to begin with, I'd like Siri to understand me better. But I'd like it to do more. I mean, I guess we're going to talk about Cortana and Windows Phone later and how much it's actually doing at the moment, being that it's new. But, I mean, Kelly, do you want Siri to do more, or do you not really use it at all?
I use Siri, but it's, I guess, odd for me. the thing that's exciting to me about Siri is probably the same thing that you guys have liked about Siri once it rolled out, which is it understands me. Because for whatever reason, for most of my life, voice recognition software is horrible with female voices, even a lower one like mine. So to be able to pick up something that has any sort of voice recognition and have it understand me is,
can anyone
to
understand
me,
what you're on about?
Phenomenal.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
It's the accent, isn't it?
The accent.
And I've cleaned that up a lot, you know, since I moved here from the wilderness. But like, for me, the best bits of Siri are the things that are strictly utilitarian. The stuff that's not cool at all. That's not make me a sandwich. It's what time is this? Mm-hmm. Remind me to do this thing when I get home. What time does this movie play at this cinema? You know, the really, like, the stuff that I'm trying to do while I'm in the middle of other stuff. Like, primarily what I use Siri for is in the car to reply to a text message or to call somebody. You know, all I have to do is hold the button down, which I don't have to look at because I can feel the button on the front. So I hold down the button, I wait to get the chirp, and then I can call my husband, I can text him, I can reply to the message that I just heard come in, you know, whatever. And for me, it's the not looking that makes that the killer feature. So if they can do something where the really utilitarian pieces work really well, then that will be awesome. And they won't have to add a whole lot of show-off features like, you know, Siri, what planes are overhead right now? Like, I can do that and it will tell me. You know, and that's neat, but that's not always necessarily a useful thing to have.
I'm fairly sure that Google Now can add an item into my calendar, but I think I'm much more comfortable typing it in. I don't know. It's just this thing where I'm, maybe it's just my Britishness. I've got a Bluetooth headset, and if I get a text message, it comes up saying, "You have a message from Beth. Would you like to read it or ignore?" Uh-huh. And I have to answer. I have to say either read it or ignore. So I'm standing there going, ignore. And someone just, and I'm just going, no, I can't even put that in context. It's that whole thing.
It's even better if you stare longingly at somebody and just go, ignore.
You're
That's what
losing.
I'm yeah.
You're losing. There's a game we used to play when I took public transport. There was a game that we used to play that was Bluetooth or Crazy Person. Because you can usually only see one side of someone's head. And so all of a sudden they start talking to themselves. And let's be honest, in downtown Portland, odds are 50-50.
It's public transport after all.
Yeah, and we'd have to guess. And so, then every once in a while, you know, someone would turn their head and, oh, I totally lost because I, you know, you could see the headset or whatever. So, you're losing by having to stand there on the street and go, ignore.
Yeah.
If you have a dodgy sleep-wake button on your iPhone 5, fear no more. Apple announced last week that they will be doing a replacement service for your iPhone 5 if you have this problem. But it's not going to be like your standard replacement program. So anytime that, in my experiences with the Apple Store, if something's gone wrong and I've needed a replacement, they essentially just give you a refurb phone, or certainly one that didn't come out of an actual box. But this appears to be that they're actually sending it away, because in some cases they're giving people loaner phones, which are iPhone 5, 16 gigabytes, or you're just doing without a phone for a few days. Is this new? I was trying to do a search to try and work out if this was actually a new thing in the past when they've had to do replacements for whatever reason. And I think it is. I think they've always just given you a replacement in the shop. Or am I wrong there?
No, you've got a replacement.
Yeah, this seems new and different. I guess it's maybe because it's not the current phone. If it was the 5S, they might do replacements. But with it being the 5, I just thought...
Well, and you can trade up was one of the... I don't remember where I read it, but... if you're having an issue with your button and you take it in, they will offer you trade-in toward a 5S if you decide that you do want to upgrade. Probably a C as well, but I just saw the S was the one that was specifically called out that people were eligible to go to instead. But anytime I had a bad something. No, Mr. Kelly had something bad on one of his phones, and we walked in. And they swapped it out on the spot.
Yeah.
You know, I made him back it up before we went in because I said, if they're going to hand you a new phone, trust me, this is what you want to do.
Yeah.
And that was it. And they didn't even flinch. Like, yeah, you're right. Like every third time or whatever, you know, like the button gets wonky. Yeah, here, new phone.
Yeah, I've had that screen replacements. I've lost count of the amount of iDevices I've had to take in for screen replacement. And they just give you a brand new device every time.
What are you doing to your screen?
Well, I don't know. My local Apple store just knows me as Broken Screen Wheatley now. It's it is ridiculous. My iPad Mini, I've had to get replaced three times for broken screens. My previous iPad 3 and my wife's iPad 3 both had broken screens. Every phone apart from my current 5S, I've had to get replacement screens. And the other ridiculous thing is my daughter, who's 10, has had some description of iDevice, be it an iPod Touch or in the last year an iPhone, since she was maybe 6 or 7 or something like that, maybe. And she's never once had a cracked screen.
I feel like I need to send you every OtterBox case now.
Well, then, see, and therein lies the issue. I don't like to put cases on my devices.
You know, it'd be cheaper, sweetheart.
Yeah, I know, but it ruins them. They look so pretty.
You're certainly getting your money's worth out of AppleCare, though, aren't you?
Well, I don't have AppleCare either. That's the sad thing. But they have replaced them for free quite a few times because they feel sorry for me.
Lord. Oh, right. You've got a loyalty card.
Yes.
Get 5 fix, 6 1 3.
It's your 11th screen. It's free.
Well, I collected them together. I once went in with 2 iPad 3s and an iPad Mini, all with smashed screens, and I only had to pay for one of them, which was very nice of them. So. Anyway, that's kind of going off topic a little bit there, but I feel sorry for Paul. Windows Phone has overtaken BlackBerry in the US market share, according to Nielsen. For quarter one 2014, Windows Phone commanded 3% of the market in America, and BlackBerry only had 2. Yeah, 2. Well, it's now third, winning out of the losers.
Well, it's winning over BlackBerry.
Well, it's third now. It's third after iPhone and Android.
It's good that it's finally happened, but it's ridiculous that America is so far behind Windows Phone market share compared to pretty much everywhere else in the world.
But do you know why? It's enterprise. It's because all those guys who installed BlackBerry servers in the server room, in whatever IT department it is, those guys are clinging to those servers for job security.
It's more the one of, in a lot of other countries, Windows Phone's actually sort of heading towards 10% market share or gone over it. So 3% is just really low for Windows Phone. You know, ignoring BlackBerry, which still seems to be, hugging 2-3% various places. But, you know, we've even, there are a number of countries in the world where Windows Phone is actually second and is actually beating iOS in market share.
Yeah.
Obviously, no one beats Android, but now. It's just, you know, and again, I think it's just, you know, it's really weird when, you know, Microsoft obviously are the US company, should have a brand advantage, you would have thought. But
how much of the rest of the world is trapped in those in our subsidized contracts?
Yeah, and this is also one of the main reasons why they were toying with the dual boot Android and Windows Phone. It's because Microsoft was having a real problem with the US carriers even bothering to put Windows phones on their shelves. And if they don't put them in the shops or train their staff, people aren't going to buy them.
A lot of people have that problem even with iOS. I hear stories all the time where people go into the mobile shop and say, you know, I want to buy an iPhone. And they're like, why? You could get this and it's cheaper. So,
yeah. I mean, that's,
you know,
all,
we have that too. But yeah. I think Windows Mobile, I don't remember exactly what the official name of it is anymore, but I think Windows Phone is going to ultimately, like, at some point definitively beat BlackBerry. And it's just because as contracts come up, people go, I don't want another BlackBerry. But 2 years ago, it was still kind of an attractive option because Android was still kind of rough around the edges. It was still kind of hard to find, you know, reliable updates. I mean, that's still an issue in some cases, particularly here, because the update has to go through the hardware manufacturer and the carrier. So just because Samsung releases an update for your phone, if you bought it on Verizon, maybe you don't get it. But if you have the AT&T version, maybe you do. So, yay, America. because of that kind of stuff, I think eventually Windows Phone is going to win, but, you know, it's only going to grow now as people start getting out from under those contracts and realize that Android is an attractive option or Windows is an attractive option and start seriously jumping ship from BlackBerry.
Do you think there's maybe a perception in the world out with America that Microsoft is still something interesting, whereas in America it's maybe a little bit more, because it's an American company, people are a little bit more aware that Microsoft isn't the Bill Gates Microsoft of 10 years ago?
Things they've said is actually a problem that obviously Windows Phone at the moment is mostly Nokia, and Nokia has no significant brand recognition in the US.
Mm-mm.
Supposedly.
That's interesting. Whereas Nokia was everything over here. I mean,
worldwide, except America.
Yeah. I mean, when I got my first ever mobile phone, it was a Nokia, and I don't remember there even being a debate as to whether I was getting a Nokia or not. I think I had the choice of like 17 Nokias or that thing over there that may have been like something else. I don't even remember what it was.
Here we have the opposite. Perfect. There's like the one. It used to be the one Nokia phone in the corner, you know, kind of dusty and left on its own. And then it was, but we'll give you an AudioVox.
An AudioVox?
Wow. Yeah.
Speaking of bizarre device names, that was a lovely segue. OnePlus has just announced a new phone called, rather originally, the One. So its full title is the OnePlus One. It has been confirmed, and it boasts about being the 2014 flagship killer. The phone is packed with an impressive 2.5 gigahertz quad-core Snapdragon 801 processor, 3 gigabytes of RAM, Adreno 330 GPU, and a 13-megapixel rear snapper, or camera, and a full HD display. It's running Android 4.4.2, and here's the interesting bit. It's actually running Cyanogen Mod 11S over the top, which, for those of you who don't know, is a community-driven program which embraces pure Android and enhances it with various additional features, according to the Wikipedia article. OnePlus has also promised, now if you weren't already sold, this is definitely going to push you over the edge here, you're definitely going to just jump out and buy this thing now. OnePlus has promised a range of different covers for the One later on this year, including denim, wood, bamboo, and Kevlar.
Oh, yeah. you had me at Kevlar, sir.
Now we know what you need to wrap your iPad in.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think it would actually survive more if it was in denim. It will be available Q2 2014. Now, I don't know how many of you read this article, but based on the specs that I said before, what would you be expecting to pay for that type of device? If you've already read it, then you're cheating. So,
a load of cash.
Correct answer, yes. Thanks for playing along, Kelly. £229 in the UK and $299 in the US.
That's actually not near what I figured it would be. Like a $400 phone was what I thought.
Well, I mean, the specs are similar to like a Galaxy S5 and things like that. So, I mean, they're what, maybe $600 in the US?
Mm.
Are they?
Well, at least 500.
At least 500 in the UK. Sorry, we're boring you, Kelly. Sorry.
No.
There was a yawn there, was it?
No.
Are you sure? You could tell us now.
It wasn't me.
I think it was me going, it segued quite nicely into something that Kelly said. So I apologize if it sounded like you were yawning, Kelly. It was probably me not yawning.
It sounded like you were yawning. It's ridiculous. No. I was about to take the huff there, but never mind. Anyway.
I'm still really confused by the whole Android phone thing. Still baffles me that there are so many on the market, how on earth anybody's expected to choose between them, which is why people just buy the one they recognize, which is the latest Samsung Galaxy One. Mm-hmm. They go in the shop and buy that.
And it's got the cool bells and whistles.
Everybody closes their eyes and points, basically.
Exactly.
Or ooh, I've heard of this.
Exactly.
You know, that's it.
It's and then you the five the, or the four, the case may be, and it's got some silly gimmick that will wow you in the shop. And I mean, it would wow me as well if I wasn't sort of a quite a serious Mac fanboy. I could see myself going into a shop, not knowing what I wanted to buy, looking at the cool features that the Samsung Galaxy S5 has, and just being sold on that. And never, ever using them from the day that I leave the shop, other than to show people in a pub what they can do. But I was quite interested by this phone. This seems like a meaty phone. And more interestingly, it's coming out with Cyanogen Mod already installed.
That's interesting that it comes that way.
Because Cyanogen is is continually being developed, which is great news. It's not subject to the skinning of the or of the manufacturer. Mm-hmm. It's almost one step ahead of Google's OSs as well, because it's best of breed in that respect. I'm still obsessed with the whole idea. If I went to a phone shop and there was one made out of Kevlar, I'd where'd you go for that? And especially if it's, I hope it's waterproof, because if they're not waterproof now, I'm looking twice at them. I think
really?
Waterproof phones are really the future. Yeah, you may be the king of the smash screen, but I think a lot of people are kings and queens of throwing them down the toilet.
I've lost a phone in a pint before. I was in a bar. It was old BlackBerry. This was years ago, and it was a BlackBerry. And I held my phone out, and I was given a guy that I was standing at the pub my phone number for whatever reason, and it just slipped, and it perfectly fell. Didn't even touch the sides of the pint. Just plop straight in, and that was the end of it. Anyway.
One of my colleagues, very quickly, we're talking about a very quick story. He was in Barcelona, got his phone stolen, unfortunately. His iPhone 5, absolutely gutted. So he came to work with this crappy little £19.99 Nokia thing. And he goes, I said, what can it do? Well, he apparently says, well, you can throw it against the wall and it won't break.
Yeah. Yeah, so if this is made of Kevlar, then you're going to... If it's Kevlar and waterproof, I mean, this thing could stop a bullet. A watery... I don't know how that's connected.
Absolutely. It's the one you put in your top pocket when you're going out. Yeah.
But this phone, I've been thinking about picking up, because I had a S3 last year that I was using for a period. And I kind of miss Android, and I kind of like having all of them. Because what I do, I need to kind of understand all the interfaces and everything like that. And I don't have an Android phone just now. And that price point and that power is sort of kind of saying this might be one that I need to pick up just to have for test purposes.
Alan, you're going to have to do your sales spiel, mate.
I'm quite tempted. I need to get a Windows Phone. But the problem is, because of my job, I have no need to get a Windows Phone just now, because absolutely nobody is built... Sorry, I'll put a bit more context around that. All of the customers that I work for, which are mainly banks, at the moment I'm working for the government as well, none of them seem to be interested in making apps for Windows Phone. So I have absolutely no need to have knowledge of the Windows Phone interface as it stands. So that's the only reason I don't have a Windows Phone. But they do look really cool. And I think it's something that I'm going to have to get into. But the sales pitch already worked. This show has pretty much convinced me that I do need to get a Windows device at some point that I can play with. But finally, in the headline section that's drifted on quite a bit today, Apple. So we discussed the long-running... FaceTime issues once on this show, and I think it's also been discussed in the Mac show, the long-running FaceTime issues in iOS 6, but Apple released a new support document last week detailing how to fix the ongoing issue with FaceTime in iOS 6. And the solution is to upgrade to iOS 7. Or more accurately, to upgrade to 6.1.6 if your device can support it, because once you pass 6.1.6, which as far as I remember was one of the later versions of 6, it will all work fine. But unfortunately, the iPhone 3G, iPod Touch 3, obviously devices prior to that can't upgrade past that. So essentially, you're being forced to upgrade to iOS 7. I have my opinions on this, but I'm going to leave it open to you guys. Does this count as a solution to you? Anybody? Don't
only
share
sort
the ones.
Of,
there you go.
Only sort of to me, because there are a number of people who, for whatever reason, are still on iOS 6. Mm-hmm. The legitimacy of those reasons varies. I heard it was bad is a reason I've heard. I don't think that's legitimate, but... I've held some hands on some upgrades, and for some people, it's just sort of intimidating, because all they heard about it was, oh, it's all weird and it's all different. Mm. And, I know how to work my phone and I don't want to make it worse.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have that kind of stance, but, I feel bad for people who are having difficulty and cannot upgrade. That's the thing is, I wonder how many of those folks there actually are. I can't upgrade my phone to iOS 7, and so now I'm having a problem that I can't get fixed. Because it's not like they can just go trade in, and get a new phone for nothing. Although, on the other hand, they're probably all out of contract, so they could if they wanted to.
They could. I mean, the other element to this is the article on... Apple's support pages are all people kind of underneath moaning about this and things like that. But Now, I'm just trying to pull out my memory here, and I'm fairly sure this is correct, but you didn't have a front-facing camera, a.k.a. the FaceTime camera, on any device before the iPhone 4, as far as I can remember. So the 3 and the 3GS, the iPod Touch 3, didn't have a FaceTime camera. I accept you could still use FaceTime, but they didn't have those. So really anything from the... I mean, as far as I could tell, because the 4S runs 7 fine, notwithstanding your points there, Kelly, that people are a bit scared of it because they've heard bad things about it. But 4S runs it okay. It's not great. And if you disable the animations, it gets significantly better. But so really, we're just dealing with the iPhone 4 here. And is this just a case of Apple's kind of went, do you know what? FaceTime isn't heavily used. It's used well, but not great. We're only talking about maybe one device here. So what are we bothering faffing about fixing iOS 6 for these, you know, this minority of a minority? Do you think that's possibly what's going on here?
Well, you can run 7 on an iPhone 4.
Can you run? So I assume it would run like a dog because it's okay on a 4S.
Yeah, the 4 would be, you'd have to ratchet down, and it's gotten a lot better on 7.1. Mm. But yeah, it's totally something that can happen. But the 4 is almost 4 years old. Mm-hmm. It was, I think, the last summer release phone.
Yep.
So, because the 4S was the one that they did in October.
Yep.
So, you know, it's been a long time. You've gotten well more than your expected use out of that device. So I would presume that people who are having trouble are probably folks who have handed down phones. Yeah. Like, I had a 4 and I gave it to my mom and I got a 4S or, you know, like that sort of thing. So hopefully it's not going to be a huge issue for a number of folks.
Yeah. It might be a problem for kids because my son's got a 4th-gen iPod Touch, which is the one with the front-facing camera. And, of course, he's out of luck now. And it's going to start with him. I mean, my daughter's got a 2nd-generation iPod Touch and she can hardly play anything on it now because literally nothing works. So it's that aging out, really. But I don't think I'm sure his iPod Touch isn't that old. I'm sure it must be less than 2.5-3 years old.
Yeah, the 4th-gen, the one that came out with the camera, would be 3 years old. Because the one that, because they brought out a new one that was sort of similar to the 5 around
five,
the time
that's
of the 5.
Right, yeah.
It just got taller. 5,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly, with the bigger screen. So yeah, we'll just be 3 years old. But I think the iPod Touch 4th can take 7, can't it?
No.
Really?
It's only the, I've just checked, and it's minimum spec is the 5th-gen iPhone, iPod Touch.
Wow.
Although, I don't know if it can... Yeah, there you go.
Do you use FaceTime a lot, though? Not that matters, I guess, because the point is, can it have iOS?
Chris uses Skype, to be honest, because because other people have other types of communication device, and Skype seems to be the most ecumenical of them all time.
In our family, FaceTime works the best because, well, for obvious reasons, absolutely everybody in my family uses iPhones and Macs and things like that, so it's not too much of an issue. But anyway, just a quick sponsor read here. We'd like to thank the awesome, awesome people at UK2 for supporting the network. They are absolutely amazing. And if you could head on over to BritishTechNetwork.com and click on the sponsors link, and you will see a shiny, shiny, pretty logo for UK2. We actually need to update that because UK2 have recently updated their logo. But if you click on the UK2 logo there, you'll head on over to the UK2 website and you can get all sorts of awesome stuff for much cheapness. It will be great, great service. The customer service for UK2 are really second to none. I've used most hosts in the UK, and I've never found a single one of them genuinely that is anywhere near the level of support and awesome, awesome support for any kind of query you have, regularly going above and beyond for any of your tech queries. So if you look at BritishTechNetwork.com/sponsors, you will see a whole bunch of voucher codes there. Please use them on UK2. Please use the click-through on UK2 as well. And we would really appreciate it if you could use that click-through if you're actually accessing your account as well. But I know that's quite hard to do. I regularly forget when I'm looking into my account, and I should be the main ones doing it. But if you could do that, that would be awesome, just so they know that we sent you. That's UK2. They support British Tech, and we want you to support them too. Awesome. So, first of all, Alan, would you like to wow us with the awesomeness of 8.1? And I'm sure James will chip in now and again due to the fact he's also got it.
I've also got a little Easter egg in the show notes. Well. If you want to click on the Nokia.ly URL I put in the show notes, you guys can see my phone screen.
Wow. Nobody else so, listening, but we can see you.
No,
on screen.
No. So I'll keep that in mind, but at least you guys can, you know, comment more maybe. But yeah, ooh. First, so with 8.1, I'm going to start with the
you
Action Center.
There you go.
Which is scroll down from the swipe down from the top, just okay. like it is on Android and iOS.
Oh my gosh, this is live.
Yeah, yeah. It's Nokia Beamer app I'm using for this, and yeah, it auto updates and either broadcasts this locally or cool. over the internet. But you can see that basically you get at the top, you get four quick toggles, which you can choose what they are. Mm-hmm. So out of a preset list, but you know, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, flight mode are the sensible ones. You've then got grouped by app the various different notification types you've got. So you can then swipe away things or, you know, hit the clear all. You've also got a shortcut into all system settings, which is, you know, useful. Worth going and having a look at the start screen options. So you've got the dark and light backgrounds and the accent color, but now you can also choose a photo background. So if I choose something...
your electricity meter there.
and I go back to start. Now my start screen looks quite different. Ooh. Now, unfortunately, you're not going to get the nice effect of basically... So what Microsoft done that's a bit weird or different and good is that it's the tiles that have become transparent rather than it being a traditional sort of background around the edges because there's no room around the edges of tiles. There is also a parallax effect. So as I scroll, you won't see this on the thing because unfortunately the refresh isn't quite fast enough. But yeah, there's a nice parallax effect that goes on there. You do want to try and probably make sure you choose... you know, less detail or slightly blurred backgrounds because otherwise it's a bit distracting and obviously also conflicts with whatever icons you've got on the place. you can also, at the moment, I've got the traditional standard and smaller Windows phone where effectively I've got two medium tiles across widthwise. You can now, like the bigger 1520s, go up to choose to have three medium tiles or six small tiles across, even on the smaller phones. So if you really want to pack your start screen, you've got more flexibility there. But.
So see what you've got the weather app there, and it's quite like that. It's not showing it right now, but it doesn't really matter because nobody's watching.
Yeah,
this anyway,
it flips one.
It's it showed. Don't forget an umbrella. Although that was quite cute. Is that just a standard thing, or is that an app that you've added in?
That's an app, Blue Skies.
Blue Sky,
which is a nice one with which does support the transparency and stuff, and yeah, has a double sided tile, so it flips back and forth.
Very cool.
One of the. James, did you want to say anything on Action Center or Start Experience? Start screen?
No, you've covered it quite nicely so far. Cool.
And I've tried to rank these in what I personally think are the most important and what's actually affected me in the last 2 weeks rather than, you know, the bullet point list that we've gone through in earlier podcasts. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, one of the big ones is that now we've got IE11 instead of a mobilized IE10 in the OS. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that gives you, it is the actual IE11 browser engine and JavaScript engine, and you can, in the settings, choose to go into, desktop version, in which case it will actually present itself as IE11 in the browser query string.
So how does
so
that...
you will get.
So does that allow you to sort of override websites that sniff the... string and say, no, always show me the desktop version.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Which is good and useful.
Well, it depends on what your job is. I think that's really annoying.
You know, you're absolutely right. It is the version of IE11 I've got on my desktop because neither of them run a particular jQuery app that I run.
The really nice extra things are that we've got full, if you sign in with your Microsoft account on other devices, then you've got full associated stuff. So if I go into the tabs, we've got, you can now have unlimited number of tabs where you previously had a max of six, but I can swipe over to other, and now you can see things that were on my home PC. So So not surprisingly, that's the tabs I've got open on my home PC while we're recording this podcast. Mm-hmm. But also, you'd see my Surface tablet on there.
Okay.
It also goes and syncs all of my favorites across all my IEs. And it goes and does all of my history across all of my devices in recent.
Now, did you go and actually cleanse your favorites and your history and stuff like that before doing this?
I didn't before. So I wasn't going to go into
carefully, sir.
We'll see. I just don't know what's in there.
Actually, no, you can't really unsee that, can you, Kelly?
No, never, ever.
And also, it can sync all of your username and passwords between all of your IEs as well. So if you've gone and saved them in your desktop IE, you don't have to re-enter them in your mobile IE and vice versa.
So they've borrowed a lot of that from Google, and that's really sort of best practice. And they've learned a lot.
So, I mean, Chrome's had sync tabbing for quite a while. It's nice that, as I say, the history, the bookmarks, and the web logins have all come along. We've also got other ones like, we've got proper in-page HTML5 playback now, so video playback doesn't get handed off to a OS app anymore. It can play in place. And we've also got a reader view for, bigger text articles. Where you can just, ask it to pull out all just the text on the page and stuff.
So what would you say if somebody was to ask you, because actually that's what I'm doing right now, what is your number one thing that you love about 8.1? What's the killer feature for you?
It's day-to-day, I think it's got to be the Action Center, which... Right. It's odd because I was definitely one of those Windows Phone purists that said, well, look, I've got all my live tiles. I don't need an Action Center. I've got the notifications on my tiles. I pin the tiles that I want the notifications for.
Hmm. So, the Action Center, is that the pull-down?
Yeah, it's the pull-down notification center, any other person would call it. But Microsoft's call it Action Center because it does include the action buttons at the top.
Right.
And you can...
The funny thing about Action Center, and with the same, so of course Android and iOS have very, very similar features. It's pull down and things like that. And when I was using my Android phone, I heavily used that. I went in and I cleared it out and things like that. And I don't remember the last time I went in and cleared out the one on my iOS device. I mean, Kelly, do you feel the same? Do you use the kind of pull down notification thing at all?
Once in a while, and it's only because if I don't see a notification for some reason and it doesn't show up in Notification Center, like I was on the phone earlier and my phone buzzed briefly while I had it up to my ear, and I don't know why. And Notification Center, the regular like front page of Notification Center, was not helpful. So I had to go over to the Missed tab. And usually this is the only time I ever clean it out is when I go there and then I say, oh, I don't need these. I don't need these. I don't need these. And I go clear notifications and go, oh, wait, this one is something that I haven't seen, or, it's got a timestamp of a couple of minutes ago and I can track it down that way. That's my big flaw with Notification Center is that I'm not able to go easily find out what I was just notified of.
The big thing about Android is that you cannot... You cannot not clear them if you've got OCD because they are permanently on the home screen. And you can have, if you leave your phone on the network for a couple of hours, you end up with like 40 of these tiny little icons scrolled on this. You go, I'm going to have to get rid of all of those.
Yeah, I forgot
about
that.
Scroll down, they have to sort of do the clear them all. So and they're actually there. One thing I do like about Windows Phone is the glance thing. So your lock screen gives you quite a lot of the information you need. So you can set stuff. And I think they've improved the glance screen as well. So if I've got... an email message or a text message, my phone makes a noise. I can look, oh, it's an email message. I can come back to that later. If it's a text message, I know it's probably my wife telling me I've done something wrong, so I have to answer it straight away. So that kind of thing. I have to say that my favourite thing, as well as the notification centre, is the fact that you can actually download stuff from Internet Explorer now, because previously, I mean, there's still no file manager per se with Microsoft operating phone operating system.
Third parties have released full file managers now.
Yeah,
third-party apps, but yeah,
it's the sharing, the handling. I mean, I've been sort of fairly spoiled with Android doing pretty much what I want. And there's one thing called ES File Manager, which is again best of breed. But the fact that I can actually save something to my music collection that I've downloaded off, you know, even something as simple as downloading something from Dropbox, a piece of audio that somebody shared with me, it's a real pain. It was a real pain in the neck to do that. But now I can actually save it to my music collection, which is good. They're making progress. And if you consider, though, that what they've done in just one sort of, they had Windows Phone 7, but in one sort of jump, they've actually caught up quite substantially with what Android and iOS are doing. So it's kind of, they're running. They're not just sort of strolling.
So with the Skype integration as well, is that OS level or is it still an extra app?
That is OS level in that the Skype app is bundled in with the OS.
But is it similar to so for example on an iPhone, and go back to the FaceTime thing we were talking about before, if I pull up a contact that happens to have an iPhone or an iDevice of some kind beside their contact card, if you like, in an iPhone, it actually shows a little video camera beside it, and if I touch that, it fires up a FaceTime call.
It had that before.
Right. Okay.
Oh,
I didn't realize. Okay. That's quite cool. So, what would you say? Using another Microsoft product as an example, with Xbox, tons and tons of awesome stuff was listed with Xbox One. Some really, really cool things relating to your TV, but they just weren't available in the UK. Is there stuff like that in 8.1 that you really would love to play more with, but it either doesn't work or it just doesn't exist in the UK version 8.1?
Yeah, the Cortana, Siri voice assistant, well, Siri crossed with Google now voice assistant, is only a beta exclusive to the US at the moment.
Oh, that's a shame.
There have, weirdly, the UK and China are the next to get it and has been promised before the middle of this year. Okay. So, okay, before the end of June, maybe? but depends how Microsoft counts half a year, I guess. And that was sort of coming on to, and unfortunately, there are a couple of other nice features that are actually require Cortana.
Right, okay.
So there's a quiet hours feature, which silences the phone between set hours, but it can also look at your calendar, and any time you've got a busy meeting, it can silence it.
So Chris,
but then you can have an inner circle who's allowed to break through quiet hours and stuff.
So Chris, on the last show, Chris Ashley, who's our Windows panelist for the last show, he was telling us about that, and that sounded like a really cool feature. That's something I would really like in my iOS device.
Unfortunately, that is, coupled to hitch to Cortana. So till you get to Cortana.
How could that be hitched? Essentially, look at my calendar. If it's a busy event, don't play any sounds.
Yep. And also, weirdly, the more enhanced reminders feature, voice reminders feature, is also hooked up to Cortana. So the feature where you can say, remind me that I owe Paul £20 next time I talk to him.
Good. It's good you're remembering that.
That's also Cortana. you can do normal reminders, of course, but that one's But the UK and I'm not quite sure why they chose the UK and China as their next two rollouts. Surely other countries in Europe would have been logical before. Complexity of China.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can kind of see the UK because it's the same language. That makes sense. But the language in China, the accent, and that seems quite odd that they've chosen.
I guess it's possibly the biggest market, though.
True.
It's certainly a market they've gained a good first foothold, but then, and it's a big market. So,
but then arguably, you would say that probably wasn't a good place to go because you don't want to piss off like 10% of China.
One thing though might be, maybe if you got the voice right, it's got to be a pain typing Chinese into a phone,
sure,
potentially with all the extra characters and stuff. I know they've done very clever things with the software keyboard support, but maybe there's more of a call for voice. Talking of keyboard, I was going to say I do love the WordFlow keyboard, and so with effectively Windows Phone has got a swipe style keyboard built in. But they went and cracked the and beat the Galaxy S3's speed record for typing with it.
Wow.
So they got a Guinness World Record associated with that.
That's something I miss. I really like that in my Android phone. Do you use that, James, the swipe keyboard?
I've got out of the habit of using it because I like the predictive word thing it does. So if I say I'm going to, and it will say the, and it might even say shops, but on the whole, it can finish my sentences for me because I really do speak very basic English. but on the whole, I've also, however, got very fat fingers, so I think swipe is actually, and the actual ability to be able to drag through letters. I love it when it works. Absolutely, I've just got to get in the habit of it. Really,
cool. Well, I'm afraid we could talk about 8.1 for hours, and I'm sure Alan, you regularly do.
keep us moving.
we're going to run out of time, but there's lots of cool stuff, and I'm sure that more stuff in 2 weeks when we have the Pocket Show again, there will be more stuff to talk about 8.1 that we can discuss at length. So I'm gonna have to shuffle on here. So Kelly, would you like to talk to us about? I'm afraid I'm going to have to limit you to one story here because we are running low on time, so please choose your favorite.
I'm gonna go with Verizon. So this is more extra special to the US mobile shenanigans. So Verizon is they're primarily a mobile provider. They also do some television and a landline service, like to your home for internet.
Verizon are sort of similar to Virgin, I believe, in the UK.
Yeah, because they do broadband and mobile and TV. Yeah. So
they're not as Virgin aren't as prevalent in the mobile market, but they do have a mobile plan. But they're similar in that sense, I believe. Anyway, sorry, I'm just giving context.
No, that's exactly right. And what they're doing now is this is something they've been sort of working toward for a while. And the reason I picked this one is because this is something that I think is only going to get more common. Here's what they're going to do. Regardless of who my home internet provider is, which we'll use me for an example because I'm not a customer of any of these, but I'm not a Verizon broadband customer. So my internet provider isn't them. But if I use my computer and log in on the Verizon website so that they know that I'm a Verizon mobile customer, they're going to set a cookie on my computer, which isn't a big deal. Lots of places do that. Everybody has a cookie. And in this case, it's an anonymous cookie. It doesn't have my name in it or anything. But that cookie is then going to make available to third-party advertisers the rest of my browsing habits once I'm done on the Verizon website. The most common example of this is I log in to pay my bill. Now, if I log in to look at my minutes or I log in to see how long is left on my plan or whatever it is, if I've logged in on the Verizon website, then that cookie gets set. And now not only is that information going to be available to those advertisers, but here's the reason that it gets sticky. The reason it gets sticky is because those third-party advertisers now have the capability to put mobile ads on my phone based on what they got off my computer.
Wow. In what way on your phone? Like during your browsing on your phone or in push notifications? Or?
I'm not exactly sure what it's going to be. I spoke with a woman at Verizon to find out more about this. And they were just talking about mobile advertising. So maybe like instead of the iAd network, which is what we have with iOS, like this is another network that people could use if they were using Verizon apps or something. I don't know what the nuts and bolts of it are going to be, but this is the thing that many advertisers have been trying to get to. Because how many times have any of us like stood in a shop and looked at something on a shelf and gone, ooh, that's neato. Can I get it cheaper online? And then looked it up online, found what we were looking for, and then went home and bought it on a computer. In which case, you know, the transaction, like nobody can trace that transaction. Like, oh, you looked it up first on your mobile phone. Nobody has any idea of that. And if you saw an ad while you were out to the shops and, you know, and then later went home to your computer and remembered that ad and looked something up on your computer and made a purchase as a result, you know, nobody can track that yet. And so this is the first step of that, which is why I think that this is going to only get more common. Right now, there is an opt-out. So if you log into your Verizon account and go to privacy, there's a section for relevant mobile advertising, and you can turn that off. But I presume there's going to come a point in the future where you're not going to be able to turn it off, and it's just going to be accepted that if you log in anywhere, you know, the rest of that internet browsing is going to be for public consumption so that somebody can send me ads for whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is a step further from the stuff that we've seen for a little while, which is basically if you go in, you see it mostly on car insurance sites in the UK, certainly. You go and get a car insurance quote with Compare the Market or something like that, mm-hmm. and then you happen to be browsing, you know, I don't know, the Auto Trader website, for argument's sake, and you get a banner ad reminding you that your car insurance quote was £300 to the penny. For mm-hmm. and it sometimes even shows you the exact model of car and color that you quoted on as well, and that's fairly common. But I think this is taking it a stage further, and this is kind of saying, right, we're not just going to look at that one piece of data that we have. We're going to look at that combined with the fact that we now know that you've went to off the top of my head, I can't think of any other examples of websites where you can compare car insurance, but you could actually see all those wrapped together in some way. You can also see that you maybe been looking at a different car, or you're going to be able to wrap all that data up and provide a fairly accurate picture of what it is that you're trying to do. I sit on a funny...
Well, and then you're going to be able to get an advertisement on your phone. So if you're out and about, you could get an advertisement about, did you know that there's an insurance agent just around the corner from you? Or, you know, this place right now, has blue Nissan Sentras on sale, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever.
Did you guys read, it was a little while back, but I know in the US they were also doing some really, well, felt invasive tracking via Wi-Fi as you're wandering around the shops. Basically, obviously, most of us wander around with Wi-Fi switched on our phones, yeah?
Yeah.
So a few companies had developed a system where basically your mobile sniffs out the Wi-Fi network, so it goes and gives away its name to the Wi-Fi hotspot. And they grouped together all these shops' hotspots. So basically, they were tracking you by your smartphone looking to see whether it could get free Wi-Fi. And they could track you shop to shop on the high street.
There's a lot of bad stuff going on there with you know, spoofed. You know, if you've logged into the cloud before, there's the cloud that your computer, your phone jumps on. I've decided it's a bad idea to leave your Wi-Fi on with remembered networks. It is a bad idea.
Yeah, I rarely actually log into the cloud or anything like that because I don't trust any of that kind of stuff at all.
No.
Having said that, I mean, I'm probably really bad for this story because I actually like this. And I know this is ridiculous to say, but if I'm going to be served ads, I'd far prefer to be served ads that are relevant to me. And that's sort of how I feel about it. And I know I'm in a minority by a long shot.
But the thing is, I think you should have the choice as to who you get served the ads by, not your mobile data provider. I think that's the thing that galls me most is the fact that it's done by Verizon rather than somebody you sign up to. If you want that, sign up to it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I haven't said what I've just said. The other element of it is I'm okay with, again, this is going to sound ridiculous, but I'm okay with Google getting my data, and I'm okay with Facebook getting my data because I feel that that's the transaction I chose to make. I did not give Facebook cash to use their service. I did not give Google cash to use their service. I didn't give Twitter cash. So them getting data from me is sort of the transaction I've agreed to make. That's the one I've signed up to, and I'm cool with that. Companies like Verizon in this case, I think it's not okay. You're giving them cash to provide a service. They should not then be trying to make more money out of
you. Yeah.
Kind of sort of tissue. Oh, I can't get my mouth around that word, but you know what I mean? Negatively. I regularly get into debates with people about this because I kind of think it's okay. I am okay with getting targeted ads, and I'm okay with people knowing what I want to do. And actually, it's in the interests of providers because I am the world's best customer in terms of advertising. I will be sucked in by anything. Really? It can get stains out of a yak? Well, I need that.
Just in case I get a yak.
Yeah. I'm horrendous for that. I just don't watch television out with the hours of like midnight and 6 a.m. because all the infomercials. The infomercials there, the amount of crap that we would have in our house, it's ridiculous.
I'll tell you what, Paul, what the one thing you really want to avoid are places like Top Cashback then. Have you heard of these sites that give you money off? I mean, I actually haven't got the attention span to be able to do it. But just think, if somebody came up with a concept whereby a company like Top Cashback would do this, targeted advertising, saying, as a Top Cashback customer, you could get 60% off at this shop. You go, whoa, right, you know. And that would, for people who do have a minor shopping obsession, I imagine someone could make a lot of money out of that. Yeah, there's your homework. I think there's a project you could easily work on.
Well, I had to end up, I put a rule into my Gmail that sends all the Amazon recommendations emails straight to trash, because the amount of money that I was spending on things that are still in packets, because I was like, oh, really? Amazon says I should buy that? Right, okay. I have to do what Amazon says.
Gosh.
Oh my goodness.
I am so bad for that. It's a problem.
Especially since you do get 14 days to return it.
Well, yeah. And actually, I've made use of that service a horrendous amount. But so that's interesting. So the crux of it is, go into Verizon. If you're a Verizon customer, go into Verizon and disable this is the fact. Another thing you should maybe think about, just generally, if you're a little bit concerned about cookies, is installing the Ghostery plugin. It's interesting, even if you're not worried about this, when you go into a website, and Ghostery is a little kind of browser plugin that lists all of the cookies that are being set on your machine at any given website. And it's quite scary to see all these plugins kind of pop up, all the different pieces of information that are tracking. And then within Ghostery, you can then disable different cookies and things like that, so that they're not quite tracking you quite as well. So Ghostery, it's quite a cool little plugin. I think it works on most browsers. Not 100% sure on IE, but I definitely know it works for Chrome and Safari. I'm assuming there's a Ghostery version for IE.
I've just installed it.
Good.
Perfect. Although the fact it says Ghostery can access everything you're browsing.
And we will not sell it, promise.
Exactly, yeah.
James, what's your story for this evening?
We're just very briefly, because this is the whole cross-platform thing, and I know it's a pocket show, but HP look like they're having yet another go at creating an Android laptop. Much like Microsoft had a go. Well, no, it's actually a laptop rather than just a tablet, isn't it? Mm. It's actually a creation which has a keyboard and I'm just wondering what people's thoughts are about a unified operating system running on a mobile and a desktop platform that is truly unified. I mean, you can say that Microsoft has Windows Phone 8 and Windows 8.1, but I still don't think they're quite. You can't run exactly the same software on them.
Well, you can now. Now that 8.1's come out, we've finally got the first universal apps that are published on the one store and come up with different interfaces, but all the code is shared. So it also means if the if the developer's allowing, that you buy once and get it on both platforms. So Halo Spartan Assault, bought on Windows Phone, I now also have on Windows Desktop.
Wow. That's impressive.
So I'm wondering actually that on that very, by the very same token, whether Android is trying, or Google, I don't know if this is being driven by Google to try and sort of even that out, because that's something where Microsoft is head and shoulders above the others. I know that I believe that there was a kind of an attempt with the OS X and the iOS app stores to not necessarily merge, but they're certainly very much of a similar kind of ilk now. Whether there's going to be any potential to merge them in the future based on, I don't know, the Xcode or...
Well, the interface looks the same, if that's what you mean, but there is no apps, as far as I'm aware, because they use quite different libraries and things like that. But essentially, it's all Objective-C. But the different libraries.
But moreover, if you buy a particular app on your phone, you can't get the equivalent app on your desktop.
No.
You have to buy
them separately. Uh-huh. Yeah. And in some cases, you have to buy them three times, because sometimes you have to buy the iPad one separately. I think Coda is one that does that, because I might be completely wrong about this, and I'm sure I will get corrected by somebody over email or something, but Coda, the iPhone version, is much more lightweight than the iPad version, which is much more lightweight than the desktop version, which it's like a kind of a self-contained development environment for front-end code. Well, you can do any kind of code in it, but it's mainly for front-end. But so you sometimes have to buy it in three different places.
So working on the principle that my wife, being the average computer user, I'm sure she probably won't thank me for saying that. When she bought a computer, probably a year and a half ago, she went for a laptop, because a laptop is the thing that she tends to want to use, because she can sit it and she doesn't have to sit at a desk to use it. It's portable. She's got a tablet as well and a mobile phone. But when she, you know, if she's on mum's net, which she inevitably is, probably shared too much. Mum's net is frightening. Do you know you can have as many identities on mum's net as you like? You can actually have arguments with yourself on the forums. Wow. People do that. Absolutely. This is why Dadnet would never take off, because frankly, we don't play those games. Anyway, sorry. I'm going to get myself into trouble. I'm going to backtrack very carefully. Anyway, the choice was that she bought a laptop. And of course, it's running Windows. It's running Windows 7 as it is. And I'm just wondering, if she had the option to buy an Android laptop that went with her Android tablet and her Android phone, whether she'd want to do that, because then she can run the same applications. I mean, all she does is browse. Well, I say all she does. She browses the internet. She reads her emails. She uses Microsoft Word to do her Open University stuff. I'm just wondering if their intention is to get people to unify their platforms so they can buy one application and use it on all the things. Or will people find themselves stymied by the fact that they can't run that thing that they used to have on Windows, or even on their MacBook, on an Android laptop? I'm just wondering if that's their intention.
I think it makes sense. I mean, I have a friend who was very much in the Windows world, heavily in the Windows world, and he had an Android phone, and he'd heard so much about iPad. In fact, no, his wife bought him an iPad for Christmas or his birthday or something like that. And then he really liked it, so he went out and bought a MacBook. And the first message I got from him when he got his MacBook is, "Where's all my software?" And I, what do you mean, where's all your software? I said, "Well, I bought tons of stuff on the App Store for my iPad. How do I download that onto my MacBook?" And he understood it eventually when I explained it to him, but he fully thought that this is just what happened. If you bought stuff on your iPhone or your iPad, you could then use it on your MacBook. So maybe this is something sensible here. It's maybe taking that demographic that know enough to be into a smartphone but are quite happy just to live in that ecosystem whereby they've got a laptop and a phone and a tablet that all have the same software. I've bought it once, it's used everywhere, and it's got the same interface, and everybody's happy.
And crucially, it's not one of these tiny little netbooks. It's a 14-inch laptop. It's right there in the middle of the kind of the form factors that you expect from a laptop. Mm-hmm. So I'm really interested by the idea of it and whether actually it'll take off. And of course, of all companies to be doing it, HP tend to be the ones who are moderately conservative about their offerings, aren't they? They go with what they know, certainly because they're trying to appeal to enterprise. Of course, the rumours were abounded because there was a video turned up on their website, which has now disappeared. So it's obviously
the oldest
leaks and things.
Trick in the book.
Absolutely. You say the oldest marketing trick, but it bloody works, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. Talking about it.
That's why it's still around.
whether it'll actually happen is another matter entirely. It's just I just thought it was an interesting sort of story since it broke in the last few hours, and it's just kind of it's good to sort of put this mark in the sand now so we can look back in 6 months' time and go, actually, we're talking arse, weren't we? Or, oh no, you could say, oh, James was talking crap, wasn't he? That's fine. I'm happy to accept that.
Well, you see,
if it's a runaway of success, of course, well, then you've got me to thank.
Yeah. Well, I really like the Transformer. I saw the Transformer a couple of years ago. And
brilliant
I,
piece of kit, yeah.
A really awesome little piece of kit. It did exactly what I want. And the there was a company that did a similar thing for, what was it called, Clam Case, I think they were called, for the iPad. And I almost bought one, and then I realized that they were only in the US, and it was about, I don't know, it was going to be almost the price of an iPad by the time I took into account VAT and shipping and all this kind of nonsense as well. So I never did it. But I like that idea. And while we know that Steve Jobs stood up on stage and said nobody wants to touch a laptop or nobody wants to reach out and touch a screen and things like that, I do regularly. I found myself sitting at my desk right now when I've been on a show and reaching out to touch the screen on my MacBook in front of me. I'm going down a line here. I've just thought, is this a touchscreen laptop? I don't think it is actually in the details that I'm reading here.
Oh, I would imagine. Why would it not be a touchscreen laptop?
Yeah, I can't see.
Otherwise, all the Android stuff apps wouldn't work.
Well, that's
all
true. That is true. Yeah,
it would be just like the Metro interface on Windows 8.1.
Okay.
Oh, that was a mean.
You've killed
dig.
Its future now, haven't you?
I know I can't see. I'm assuming it's a touchscreen. It doesn't actually expressly say that, but I think it has to be. I think you're right, Alan. It's the Android apps wouldn't make sense without being a touchscreen. So, I think there's a lot to be said in that.
What does, you know, Yeah, it's a really weird one to think, okay, so this is actually an Android ported on to a laptop form factor, hardware-wise. But yeah, it would be really interesting to see someone do, when this comes out, a Chromebook versus Android laptop. Benefits and downsides, because obviously, you know, Chromebook is supposed to be the Android laptop, but not quite.
Yeah. Very cool. Okay, thank you very much for that, James. The other sponsor that I just want to mention just before we move on much further is the awesome people at the Network Union. They're an authorised BT business partner licensed to sell their global and UK services. Basically what they do is they sit as a sort of a middleman, and they give you all their awesome expertise and overlay that together with standard BT resources at no extra cost. You're still a customer of BT. All your contracts and all your billing and everything like that still goes through BT. They just kind of sit in the middle and they help you. Whether you're an existing BT client or whether you're new to BT or something like that, they can look at helping you reprice your connectivity, even if you're midterm. Everything from BT Business Broadband, upgrades from copper to fibre, or new connections through to Enterprise One connectivity. They're absolutely superb. In a nutshell, they're exceptional at connectivity design and are able to achieve the very best commercials of BT, and they remain assigned to your account throughout the contract. The Network Union, please support them, because they support us. They are currently providing the pipe into BTN towers in Birmingham to provide all the awesome live shows, and at some point in the future when either I decide to move out of historic Scotland or Scotland gets some kind of pipe laid in, I might actually be able to do some live shows and some video as well, but in the meantime they provide the awesome services to BTN Towers in Birmingham. They are fantastic. Please head on over to thebritishtechnetwork.com, click on the sponsors link and click through to the Network Union. They are superb. So finally, we've run on longer than expected tonight, but that's okay. It's been some awesome stuff. We will go to Kelly. Would you like to give us your pick this evening,
Millie? Okay. Yeah. So my pick is a fun... For me, this is a fun thing because I'm a person who's a reasonably adept user of a lot of technology. And I have ideas, but I don't have a lot of execution. I'm not a developer. So if I have a great idea for, say, an app or a website, I don't have the execution on that. I don't know Objective-C, so I can't build iPhone apps yet. Mm-hmm. There's things that I'm working on. But anyway, for somebody who wants to put together a quick prototype of whatever it may be, there's a really great free service from a site called Marvel App, MARVELAPP.com. And the reason it's great is because they have a free corresponding iOS app, and you can sketch your brilliant idea on like a napkin, or I don't know if you guys have these in the UK, but we have tables here where they just lay like butcher paper across the table, and then they bring crayons, and you can draw on the paper like while you're waiting for your food or whatever. Like if you have that, you're goofing around with ideas and you hit on something that you really want to keep. So you take a picture of it with your phone in this app, and you can use that. You can also use just their website if you don't have iOS to take a picture while you're out, building great app ideas over cocktails or whatever. You can do this through their website, and you take the pictures and you can create a hotspot and then, be able to click on that hotspot, which takes you to the next page. So if you were prototyping an app, for example, you could say, and this is, the second screen that you do things in, and then you could tap on that and have it show you what the second screen would look like. You can use this to whip through prototypes for a website. So, as you click through different menu items, you would see what the different pages look like as a result. And it's all free and it's awesome. And everything that I've seen from them has been really nice. I wrote this up over at the Mac Observer. And they have a demo on their blog that you can look at, which is embeddable into the website so that you can click on things and get an idea of what you're looking at. And I think they're fab. And I've actually used this lightly because I have an app idea that I want to try to turn into reality. And so I wanted to be able to express this to somebody and show them what I was talking about, and this is a really easy way to do that.
You can also, if you are good with like Photoshop or Pixelmator or something like that, you can actually import PSDs and pings and JPEGs and stuff. So if you actually have the finished artwork but you want to make it clickable, so if you want to take it to the next stage after sketches and things like that, Marvel App can do it as well.
And they do have kits of like sort of clip art that you can get and import depending on what image manipulation editor you have. They have some PSDs and some, I think, sketch templates. And you can use those if you want to put something together. If you're adept in Photoshop and you want to put something together and say, this is exactly the thing that I'm looking for, you know, it does that as well. And it's super groovy. It is. And I must apologize to Paul for stealing this pick right out from underneath him at the beginning of the show.
No, it's okay. I did a talk on Macworld where I covered an app called PopApp, which does very similar things to this, but this is significantly better. It's got lots and lots of extra features. And I used this just the other day. Coincidentally, me and my daughter are working, based entirely on App Camp for Girls. My daughter is absolutely desperate to get into this kind of thing. And so me and my daughter are working on an app just now, and I got her to use Marvel to sketch what she wanted to do. And the idea is that she's going to sketch it, and then I will start to kind of develop it to a point that, you know, she can start playing with it and things like that. But it's really easy to use, and it's really awesome.
You've made my day. That's the nicest thing I've heard.
Well, she's inspired by App Camp for Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. She totally is. As I've seen you on the Mac show, she's gutted that that it's not a UK-based thing. But so we're working on just quite a simple little game at the moment.
Once she becomes a developer, then she can be the person who helps us lead the charge on AppCamp UK.
Well, you know, I didn't go that far, but I did say to her, you know, that it's a really cool thing to get into, and you know, there's not enough girls in programming and things like that.
Right.
It's cool that she's interested in it. I mean, she's 10; she's just at that cusp where she might actually go to the dark side and actually be a girly girl. But at the moment, she's a little geek. She reads comic books and just sits and plays Minecraft and The Sims pretty much all day, every day, if I would let her. So,
well, and that could still go either way. She could still be super girly and still really like Hawkeye, you know. Well, it happens.
Oh, she's Iron Man. It's all Iron Man.
Oh, okay. Good call. No, that it part of what we wanted with App Camp, I don't mean to derail, but part of what we wanted to do with App Camp was inspire other people. Mm-hmm. And so I love hearing that this is something that has inspired her.
Yeah.
And I think that's phenomenal. And when the app is ready, I would love to check it out.
Yeah, I will. It's a long way off, and it might not be something that we ever finish, but I'm just happy that she's interested in at least working on it just now. So we'll see what happens.
Well, and trying it out, like that's one of the things that for us is App Camp. Like, we don't expect everybody to walk out of App Camp and become an iOS developer, but for everybody that comes in and sees what there is, what goes into building an app, like maybe what she's going to decide that she really likes is the artwork piece. Mm-hmm. And all she really wants to do is draw, you know, the art that goes into a game or an app or whatever. And not everybody realizes that, you know, how many different sets of talent it takes to get a good polished app out the door. And so we have discovered that a lot of girls particularly don't realize, oh, there is somebody who has to draw all that stuff, and that person could be me, or I really do enjoy cracking open code and finding out what's wrong with it and seeing if I can help fix it. And making that stuff happen is super, super awesome. And so it really makes me happy to know that she's inspired. And even if it's just to try it out, and maybe she decides it's not for her, but to not be afraid of it and to not have the whole rest of the world sort of explaining to you as a girl that computers aren't for you, which was what I got a lot of, is really, really nice. And so the fact that you're encouraging her makes me even happier.
Cool. Yes. Well, I will be sure to share it if we ever get to a finished article of any shape or form. Cool.
Yes, please do.
Will do. Alan, what have you got for us this evening?
I was going to, along with the Windows Phone 8.1 update, one of the annoyances is that certain apps decided to do their own sort of colors for tiles rather than using your phone accent color. That was an annoyance on 8.0, but on 8.1, when you've gone to the trouble of finding the perfect background graphic, you know, it's a real pain. So there's a free third-party app called Transparency Tiles, which just basically pins equivalent but transparent shortcut tiles to your screen. Now, the only downside is those are then just shortcuts. They won't do the live tile stuff. So if you need an app to do live tile stuff and you can't get at it via Action Center, then you might want to hold off. But if you really want, you know, a nice look and feel, there's a workaround.
Cool.
The other second one I just wanted to shout out was that there's two really good offers at the moment for people with Nokia Lumia 625, 1020, 1320, and 1520s. And the Lumia icon. Basically, you can download a Nokia gift voucher app and you will get 20 quid of Microsoft account money, which obviously you can spend across Windows Phone, Windows and Xbox. And then there's a separate promo running for the same phones at the moment that gets you 9 full-priced Xbox Live games for your Windows Phone.
Very cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, as I say, obviously, if you haven't got those particular models, I'm sorry, but for those that do, and yeah, as I say, a number of Ewan managed to reclaim his 20 quid and 9 games.
Wow. As did I. James. Yep, I have as well. Yeah. Yep, I
got them.
Wasting money.
Hey, 20 quid free for dropping.
I have a funny feeling I've managed to get 2 lots of 20 quid, because when I first got the phone, I think Windows was, Microsoft was saying, hey, thank you for buying this phone, have some money. And, well, great. So now I've got to find out what to spend it on, because quite a lot of the great apps are free.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can spend them on Xbox or on desktop as well, because it's just Microsoft points.
Fantastic. Well, I might have to do it on Xbox then.
you could spend it on your pick. What is your pick this evening, sir?
My pick is an Android pick, and I spend a couple of evenings a week, because I'm mildly hyperactive. I can only be pinned down to the sofa for that amount of time, watching television with my wife, and we have so much stuff on the TiVo, often going back months. We've got stuff like Elementary, all kinds. I'm going to have to go through the list, because basically what I've got is a thing called Series Guide. Mm-hmm. And you can tick off the ones you've seen, because a number of times you'll be watching the first 10 minutes of a program and go, we've seen this one. Because we don't watch them in any particular order. And all the stations like Sky Living and all the other channels, they don't play them out in order. And therefore, you don't really know until you read the synopsis whether you've seen them before. And this one enables you to tick off the ones. I mean, the main ones we watch are Elementary, I've got Parks and Recreation, New Tricks.
I love Parks and Rec.
And there's about a million episodes of New Tricks, apart from this fact, it's gone all crap now. And Perception. And Perception is the most annoying one, because they seem to be playing all the series at once. Because there's loads of episodes, loads of different seasons. I think there's only 2 seasons, so how on earth we haven't watched them all by now, I just don't know. Either that, or he's such a clever mentalist type chap that he's playing the same ones over and over again, we're just not noticing because he's so clever. I mean, frankly, it's the same story every time, but don't tell my wife that.
That's cool. So
I don't think it's... Yeah, so, it's called Series Guide. If you type in seriesgui.de, that's right. Quite clever. Mm-hmm. It takes you to the website, and of course you just type in Series Guide into your Play Store, and it's free, and it's just so... Most television programs seem to be on it, including UK ones and American ones, which tend to be the ones we watch.
So how does it sync? Does it sync to some kind of external server? Or
that's right, yeah. So all you right. type in a program name. I mean, do you want to give me one now? I can...
I don't know. Modern Family, because that happens to be on their website. That's
ad. I've got that ad show search.
Went way over time to
rats. Why is this only Google Play?
Family.
I need this. I'll have to install it.
This mockumentary explores different types. There we go. Ad show, and it will show. It will appear in your show list shortly, and then you just tick off the ones. And actually, you can possibly even rate them. And so you can get a sort of, if everybody thinks a particular episode is crap, you can not bother watching it, I guess, right, if you're that short on time. But you've got Mad Men, Arrow. Mm-hmm. We stopped watching Arrow. I think it was another one of those ones where the same stories just happened every week after week. So absolutely loads of them. And Fargo, of course, I've got to start watching that one.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Series Guy, very good fun. And cool. And won't necessarily save marriages, but certainly save me getting bored on a Friday evening.
Yeah, and it sounds very similar to an excellent Windows Phone app, which I always recommend, TV Show, which is 99p on Windows Phone, but does exactly the same thing. Yeah, just type in, search for your series, pulls down all the episodes, all the series, synopsis, screenshots for every episode, links to YouTube, sometimes for the full episode, other times linking in for the subtitles, tracks for the episode, and all sorts of stuff.
So I guess there must be something on iOS somewhere for doing that, but we'll have to have a look. I'm going to do my pick really, really quickly, because we have went way over the target hour so far. So I'm going to just choose something. I did a review on it on the British Tech Network website just last night, actually. It was something that a company that we met in Macworld. And it's a company called Fuzz Designs, F-U-Z, but there's a kind of an accent on the U. And it's a dock. Now, that may not seem particularly interesting, but it's actually awesome. It claims to be the last dock you will ever need, because the idea is that you use your own cable and you just slot it up through the center. There's a little collar that kind of goes on, holds the little plug in place. It uses microsuction technology, and it's very, very heavy. And so I have it sat on my bedside table, and every other dock I've ever used, you have to hold the dock when you pull your phone out of the dock. With this, you don't. It's that heavy, and it uses microsuction that you just lift your phone out, and it doesn't take the dock with it. It stays pinned to the desk. It is awesome. I think it's about $42. I don't believe you can buy them in the UK yet, unless you do something like Reship or something like that, one of those services that basically gives you an American address and then allows you to send the item over to the UK from America. But it's pretty awesome. They have lots of different options. They've got another one that's currently in Kickstarter. I think it might be out of Kickstarter just, but basically it's the same idea, but it's a cup holder. It's the shape of a cup holder, so it actually sits in the cup holder of your car. They've got a dual one, cool, which basically sits back to back with each other. They're really cool. I really, really love mine. If you want to read more about it, I wrote what now looks like a really, really long article for what is a dock when I'm actually looking at it. it's on the British Network, and on the right hand side you will see all like the written piece, like the blogs and the articles and things like that, and it's the one that's at the top just now, the EverDock Pro by Fuzz Designs, F-U-Z Designs. So that's us. The only thing that I quickly want to say, and we're running out of time so I'm not going to do this very long, is we are currently running a Patreon, patreon.com/British Tech Network. Please think about heading over there and just chucking us some cash. The sponsors that you've heard earlier on the show, they don't actually give us any cash or anything like that to pay for microphones or video cameras or anything like that. They basically take costs away, so like UK2 take away the hosting, and Network Union take away the cost of broadband. We want to do more with the network. This show, when I get better bandwidth, the Gamer Show, when I get better bandwidth, we want to start doing video shows. We want to start doing both of those live. With the Big Show and things like that, we want to do some more interesting things with that. Maybe upgrade some of the hardware there, because as you know, if you're a regular listener to the Big Show and the Mac Show and things like that, things fall down now and again. We have some networking problems. All we want to do with that money is make the shows better, for you, the listener. If you think it's worth it, please head on over to patreon.com/British Tech Network and just chuck us whatever you want. Minimum they ask is £1. If you can't afford that, that's absolutely cool. I completely understand that. But basically, a dollar is approximately 60 pence. So if you only listen to this show, think about it as 30 pence a show. Is this worth 30 pence a show? If you listen to more shows in the network, that obviously goes down if you just want to give us a dollar. We really appreciate it. It would be awesome if you did that. So that's all I'm going to say about that. Finally, where can we get you all? James, where can we get you?
I'm still playing around on Twitter as SYZYGY, and also do a radio show, which is at Weekendery.
Cool. Does that go out on a station, or is it like a podcast type?
It's on Mint FM, which is a very small internet radio station, but it's also downloadable as a podcast. If you type in at Weekendery into your search engine, it'll tell you more about it.
Very cool. Very cool. Kelly, where can people find your awesomeness?
You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso. You can also find me on the British Tech Network Mac Show. And you can find me on the Tua Talkcast and occasionally writing some news pieces over at macobserver.com.
Cool. And Alan, where could people find your special brand of Windowsness?
Look me up on Twitter at digitalamoeba. So, digitalamoeba.
I thought you were going to give us a website address there. That's
I do actually own the domain as well. But
if you want to hear more from me, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Paul Wheatley. You can also find me on the Gamer Show, the Pocket Show on this network, occasionally on the Big Show. And I've been on the Mac Show for about the last 4 or 5 episodes, but I'm probably not going to be on for a little while because I've gotten a job again. So that's a bit of a shame. if you want to find me anything else, paulwheatley.com, pretty much links to everything that I do there. It's been awesome having your ears this evening. I muchly enjoyed it. It's been great having the panel here. Thank you very much, guys. It's been awesome.
Thank you.
No problem. And we will see you again in a couple of weeks with another fantastic Pocket panel discussing all things Pocket. Thank you very much, and good night.